The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, episode 489 for Wednesday, February 19th, 2014. And welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, the show where, well, today is a little different.
What are we doing here? We're not supposed to be here on a Wednesday.
That's right. So here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton, as always.
And Purple, Connecticut, John Braun.
And today we have Paul Kent with us. Paul, for listeners of the show, longtime listeners of the show, everybody knows Paul as the GM at IDG in charge of Macworld, iWorld. Paul, it's a pleasure to have you back. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's good. It's weird talking to you in February about Macworld Expo, or Macworld iWorld, I should call it. My apologies. Because we haven't had Macworld iWorld any later than this in previous years. But now we get to do it in March. So yeah. So here we are.
I think most people are glad about that, Paul. Number one, as you may know, I got caught transferring in Philly a number of years ago because of the snowstorms, which I hope we're not going to see too much snow. But also it avoids conflicting with CES, which was another problem in the past. So I'm very happy that it's in March. I think other people are, too.
Yeah, I think that these dates work really well. I mean, it's going to be spring break for a few. There's no perfect dates anywhere in the calendar, anywhere. But we've gotten great feedback from developers and from attendees when we were looking at moving the dates. You know, the thing is this. Remember, we technically still have holds on that very first week of January at the Moscone Center.
Oh, is that right?
That's what our, you know, that's how we got started. And that's what we had been doing for years and years and years. And the Moscone Center doesn't have free dates. I mean, San Francisco is arguably the most popular convention city in the whole world. And so, you know, we have to kind of work with them to find holes in the schedule that'll work for us, that work for them. And we've been fortunate for the past several years that we've been moving out past those January dates. And these seem to be the most popular. So we're hoping that we can keep it somewhere, you know, early March, very, very late February. We're hoping that we can keep him out here this long.
Ah, that's interesting. I didn't realize it makes total sense that you'd have your contract on your week and then you got to trade it and, you know, all that horse trading and all that fun stuff that goes on.
Right.
Yeah. So people that have been or know about Macworld, iWorld over the past several years, it has morphed. It has changed, in fact, quite a bit, I think, for the better, with a much greater focus on the conference and not necessarily less focus on the exhibit floor, but maybe less focus on the exhibit floor. It's about the attendee experience, not just about seeing and buying stuff and wandering the exhibit floor. There's all that stuff elsewhere. So I'm hoping and guessing that you're continuing even further down that path, Paul, but that's what you're here for, to tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So the conferences, I think this is the most interesting conference we've ever done. And I'll tell you why, because in addition to all the cool stuff that is, you know, it's been a busy year in the Apple world with, you know, a major update to iOS and OS 10, and we're covering all kind of the new features and, you know, the new functionality in the OSs and the new features and functionality in iWork and in iLife. But there's so much going on in the broader tech space that is of interest to people that we can help people to understand. So think about it. The people who come to the Macworld conference, they're Apple product enthusiasts who always want to increase their skills and kind of know how to take their power usage to greater heights. But they're also astute technology watchers. And so things like the emergence of these alternate currencies, you know, we have a session that actually Brian Chaffin's going to lead on what is Bitcoin and what are these alternate currency models that are coming up. It's of tremendous interest to people because it's this kind of sounds like something big might be changing in the world. And how do I understand how it affects my world? So Bitcoin would be one. Another thing would be a really, really in-depth look that Josh Centers is going to be doing at this whole issue of NSA and privacy. It is, you know, you could say it's been the biggest and most important news story about technology that's been going on for the past 6 months. You know, we're going to help people to understand Is Apple helping the NSA? What does the NSA know? What can you do to protect yourself? What are your rights? What are your what are the legalities of everything? So these kind of broader issues are going to be available for people to learn about that are of interest to technologists. And then there's all the fun stuff. I mean, for example, we just signed on Robin Miller. Robin Miller will be known to many as the co-creator of Myst. Really legendary in the Apple world, and a great interview and a really interesting guy. Now he's an independent film producer. But, you know, if you think about Myst and where Myst came from, Myst was the first computer. It was the number one computer game in the world for 9 freaking years.
I know. Yeah.
And you could argue that it was that because it really blazed trails in using technology to tell beautiful and interesting stories.
Well, it was the first CD-ROM game that meant anything. It the first game that felt like it used what a CD-ROM was for. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So Robin is going to be talking about storytelling and connecting with technologists. So that's interesting as well. And then, like I said, there's all of these sessions that take you inside iLife and iWork and Motion and all of Apple's products and a lot of the most interesting products that people are using in the Mac space right now. I also just put together a session that is going to be very helpful for people. There's been all this buzz about these two technologies. One, we've known about it, but we haven't seen a lot about it, called Passbook, that's on your iOS device.
Yeah.
These things, most people know it as, that's how I get my JetBlue boarding pass, or that's how I get my Starbucks gift card now. But it's actually really powerful technology that is just starting to get used in interesting ways. And you couple that with Apple's iBeacon technology, this kind of geolocating technology that's in all iOS devices and can be put into standalone devices. So iBeacon technology kind of solves the problem, whereas GPS is fine if you're outside and satellites can find you. What if you're in a 6-story department store? How do you get real close proximity information? And beacon technology is all about that. If you combine the two, Passbook and beacons, a lot of implications for retail, a lot of implications for business, implications for consultants. There's a lot of opportunities about the implementation about these two things. And we just added a session, about that. So pretty much everything that is of interest to the Apple product enthusiast, the power user, the Apple industry watcher, and the technology, broader technology interested person, you're going to find something pretty cool at the conferences that we have.
That's cool. So now, of course, I have to ask, the one place that I've always thought iBeacons would be great is an expo floor, navigating, figuring out where I am and where the booth I want to get to is. Any chance we'll see those there?
That's such a great, your check is in the mail, Dave. So we're actually working on something pretty cool where attendees can use the show. You can be part of our little sandbox project where we're going to be showing people how this technology works, in that we're going to be placing beacons around the floor, and we're going to be doing a very, very innovative and interesting scavenger hunt contest.
Oh,
where
awesome.
As you walk around the floor, you know, when you come across a beacon, you'll get a message to solve a clue, and then you can collect a pass. So it's both the technologies, iBeacon and Passbook. You can collect a pass, and then when you collect all the passes, you'll be able to turn it in for some kind of a prize.
See, now that's geeky fun right there. I love that.
Paul, let me ask you, there was something that both Dave and I had seen. I don't know if you guys are entertaining this, but I think we both saw this. So I went to a CES, or like a baby CES, over here in Manhattan, and then Dave went to the show proper, and they were doing NFC in the badges. I don't know. I just thought I'd bring it up because it seems that, yeah, people are going to this more focused wireless technology, NFC being it. I don't know if you've entertained that.
We have, actually. We've taken a good hard look at NFC. And how was your experience with that?
They explained it to, so I don't think they really implemented it at the, at the show in Manhattan. I think they may have, Dave could speak to that. Cause I just noticed, I looked at my badge and I'm like, oh, look, there's this, you know, antenna in it. What's up with that?
I used it at CES and at South by Southwest, I think, has been using it for a little while too. And it's where it was handy was if someone wants to get, your information, instead of scanning your barcode, they're just scanning the NFC. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it was any better or any worse, to be honest with you, Paul.
Well, and again, I think that's kind of what the question is, you know, NFC versus this low power Bluetooth, which is what the iBeacon technology is based on. Right. So, you know, they're two competing technologies. They're not quite complementary technologies.
No.
And so, you know, we're going to throw in with the technologies that Apple seems to be promoting, which is in the iBeacon technology. So no NFC for us. And actually that analogy that you just gave, Dave, where you can actually, you know, you could literally take a phone if you or an iPad, and you could tap a beacon to do that exchange of information. So it has that proximity feature is one of the things that beacons could do.
No kidding.
Don't know that we're going to have that set up, but that's one. Yeah. And that's one of the things you'll want to come to this session for, is that's all the kind of hidden stuff that hasn't been really used in very interesting ways yet, that we're going to be one of the first, you know, big test projects for. And Tom Benson from PassJoy is going to be doing the session. And then do you know Tim Perfitz from Two Canoes?
I totally know Tim Perfitz. Yeah.
So Tim is in the beacon business now. So he's got these blue stations that he's been selling. These are independent beacons. So your iPhone or your iPad, if you have iOS 7, you have iBeacon technology in the phone. So phones and pads can be beacons themselves. They can, and you know, and the beacon technology is essentially radio technology, right? It's basically right. Constantly saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, right? Are right. you there? Are you there? Are you there? And so your phone can do that. So your phone can, you know, be communicating. And then, like I said, you can have these independent beacons as well. So really fun stuff. Tim is part of the team that's putting together the scavenger hunt program for us, along with Tom Benson from PassJoy. So a lot to learn and a lot of really fun. And like you said, it's pretty geeky stuff that is going to become mainstream very, very, very soon. And if you want to understand how it's being deployed, you know, that session and seeing how the test case, the sandbox at Macro iWorld will be really helpful.
That's cool.
Okay. Yeah. Someone asked this. We got a question. We're going to address it in our next show, but someone actually had come up on their phone an alert saying, I can give you better location accuracy if you turn off Bluetooth. And they basically presented the question to us. They're like, what is this? And that's exactly what it is. It's iBeacon.
Yeah.
So
yep.
So we're going to dive into that. Let me ask you too, Paul. So I see something else, which I guess is, we were talking about the conference program. So it's the conference, but it's not, is that there's also the Mac IT segment of the show.
Yeah. So, you know, that is another conference that we offer at the same time. So that's, we kind of separate those guys because they need to be by themselves. So that's for the, for the enterprise, Fortune 500, Global 500, Education 1000, people who are managing really, really large installations of Apple technology. That's what Mac IT is all about. And then, you know, we've had the name Mac IT for years, and really much of the interest right now is in the deployment of mobile devices. So this whole area of bring your BYOD, bring your own device, and MDM, mobile device management, that's what we cover in the Mac IT event. Very, very hardcore, very, very technical. Enterprise management of Apple devices is what we cover there. And so we have a 3-day conference and a couple of full day workshops that are specifically for enterprise Apple technology managers.
And Mac IT runs starting that Tuesday or that Wednesday of that week.
Yeah, all that we're doing is Mac IT starts Wednesday and goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with the workshops on Saturday.
Okay.
And then Macworld iWorld goes workshops on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the conference. So we just flip the, you know, the place in the week where the workshops are.
Yep. Makes sense. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I know we have quite a few listeners here at Mac Geek Gab that are you know, the perfect audience for Mac IT.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, yeah. Mac IT is a rockin' event. I mean, it provides a lot of unique information that's really not available anywhere. And that's a group that really benefits from commiserating, right? So, you know, that's incredibly difficult, you know, and that world is in such flux right now. And so hearing from other IT managers how they're handling policy and security and those things, these are really powerful and very, very helpful things. So Mac IT has been growing. It's, you know, one of our faster growing events that we have at IDG, and it's a really strong event that provides a lot of value in the marketplace.
Sweet. All right. So that's the conferences in a nutshell. There's going to be some keynotes and stuff in the exhibit floor. Anything about those two you want to talk about?
Sure. So, you know, yeah. Our keynotes are interesting. So our first keynote is going to be our own Jason Snell is hosting a panel. That's the state of Apple, you know, Macworld iWorld needs to inform its attendees, you know, where Apple is, where Apple might be going, commentary on decisions and directions that Apple has taken. And so that's a good way for us to open our conference is with some perspectives on the state of being an Apple customer. So that opens the event. But we also, again, in this interest of defining the technology world around us, we've invited Robert Scoble and his writing partner, Shell Israel, to come and talk about their new book. So they have one of the best selling technology books of the year called The Age of Context. And this is all about how devices are collecting, sharing or not sharing, and communicating information based upon where you are. And it's a whole interesting world about how the media is using this information, how advertisers are using this information, how businesses are using this information. So depending upon where you are, the technology in your hand may have very different uses, functions, value, data mining processes. And so this is a session about, you know, you've got this phone, it's on you, and it is a live extension to you, constantly communicating with the world. What does that mean? Yeah. And so that'll be our second keynote. And, you know, you know, Robert, you know,
I do.
Just brilliant guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, great keynote choice, and I think it'll be a very, very informative session for everybody.
No, I think yeah, he's an energetic and charismatic guy. I think he'll do a killer job for you. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's relevant because, you know, Dave and I were just discussing, and it really tickled me and it kind of scared me, is this M7 chip in the phone that apparently collects data about what you're doing without you necessarily knowing it. It told me how many steps I had taken for the last several weeks, and that's kind of cool, but I'm sure we'll touch on that and other things, because I've noticed a lot of things in the privacy section of my iOS device right now saying, are you sure you want to let people know about this?
And I've asked Robert, I've said, you know, context is a broad topic. Of course, it's interesting, but you've got an audience who has the most popular mobile device. You know, you've got an entire audience. Let's tailor the talk and you know, let's talk a little bit to Apple and their perspectives on context and what iOS users have to be worried about.
Yeah. Otherwise, he'll spend the whole time talking about Google Glass.
Although he's jumped off that boat. So maybe
That's right. Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. No, that's cool. All right. Any after hours activities that you guys are doing, or are you kind of leaving that up to the community this time around?
We have decided we've done a lot of after hours things. Our after hours things have been, some of them have been great. Some of them have been good. But generally, the excitement that happens when a private invitation party happens or a semi-private party happens, the community does such a good job with the evening socializing stuff. We're going to step back this year and let people self-assemble. And in reality, that's what people have been doing since there's the beginning of Macworld, is, you know, whatever suits them in the evenings. And so we're looking forward to, again, another robust week of, you know, fun things that various developers and publishers and business interests will be offering. I mean, my favorite, of course, is the humble little Cirque du Mac party that's grown into the mother of all parties. And so,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think, you know, some of the people that are performing in that, Paul.
I know a few of the people. And Dave, I can tease with you. I have done about 15 interviews so far this year. Not one of them has failed to ask, you're in the Macworld All-Star Band, aren't you?
That's awesome.
It's become this humble little get together that we had to play for our friends, you know, what, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Really has turned into something. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, this one goes to 11. It's crazy.
Nice.
How well it's come together. And we've got sponsors are coming together. We've got, I want to make sure I don't get this wrong. I think I have three sponsors I can announce. Project Wizards, who's been with us forever. A new sponsor this year is, why can't I think of the names? I should have prepped for this, you know, but I didn't, cause I didn't think about that. But Ken Case's company. Why can't I think of the name of
Omni?
Thank you. I don't know why I can't think of the name of his company, but Omni is going to be a sponsor this year for the first time ever of Cirque du Mac. So I'm stoked about that.
That's cool.
And Chrome Tech is back. So yeah. And there's more in the wings. So the party's coming together. It's official, Paul. We're going to do it this year.
It's just so cool. And it's become that thing, you know, it's become, you know, the number of people who are so attached to the community that party brings together. It is the perfect, I would call it the cherry on top of the cupcake that is Macworld iWorld. I mean, it is, we work all day, you know, sessions, do business, and then this opportunity to go and let our hair down. It's fun for, you know, me and I know you and all the guys in the band to play at it. It's so rewarding to play for our friends and, you know, our professional colleagues, but it's become this, Burning Man-ish, you know, Grateful Dead-ish vibe of a love fest that, you know, it is the community's hangout, and it's just great. And you know, I applaud you so much for taking on the reins and, you know, running with that party. And, you know, I hope it does everything for Backbeat and you guys that it does for the rest of the world. I evidently it does because you've done it so many times now, but it's really, it's such a special event. It's such a great time.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, it is a way of giving back. It's, you know, we've got this community. We all have this community to thank for the ability to do what we all do each day. And yeah. And so Cirque really is that. It's a labor of love. This time of year, I hate it. I mean, I don't hate it, but, you know, it's just a burden because it's pulling all the stuff together and organizing everything. And it's all of that. But it pays off from a business standpoint. I suppose it doesn't, you know, we don't actually make a whole lot of money from it or really any. Usually we kick in a bunch of money and that's how it goes. but that's OK. It's about the community and it's the right. It's the right event to do for the people that we work amongst. So
it's cool that event and the band, you know, I'm sure you guys did a show on this, but you know, the Macworld All-Star Band got invited to perform at the Mac 30th event along with the original, you know, Mac creators. We are embraced as part of the community, as part of the tale of this marketplace. And it's led to so many interesting and rewarding things that it's just fantastic.
I agree. Yeah. It's one of the best things, you know, it's at the foundation of so many other great things. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And as far as events here, I think the place that I look, and this has been a reliable resource for a number of years here, is you can Google it, you'll find it, but the Hess events list.
Eileen's always, list. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's at Eileen'sMachine.com/party-list .shtml, last I checked. And she does a pretty good job of collecting all that info and she publishing does. It. And
That's a labor of love, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, if it's a media-only thing, don't try it. Well, you can try to crash it. I mean, who would blame someone trying to crash things? But, you know, try to honor the instructions there. Some things have a... Well, hey, do what you want to do. It's a list. It's a list, and it tells you... it's the best list that I've seen of what's going on behind the scenes, especially. So
I'm asking you a question, Paul, that I don't know the answer to, but I'm curious, and it's probably time to get an answer to this. And this has been a source of confusion for attendees over the years, is what, if anything, are you doing about a podcast stage this year? So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So thanks for asking. We have two stages on the show floor.
Okay.
The big thing that we're working through now is trying to figure out, you know, how best to use the time on those stages. So the stage... You know, Macworld Live stage, that's the Macworld magazine editors. They kind of have their own agenda for things. And then we have this other stage that we're doing that's going to have certain music performances. We've got Exist Elsewhere, which is the band that won our Battle of the Bands, you know, bands that are using Apple technology. They're coming back to do a special performance. We've got Stefan Lipson, who's an Apple musician. He uses all Apple technology to do this very interesting musical performance with a bunch of triggers. So he's performing every day. And then we're going to have a series of a podcast live, because attendees really love being in the live audience of a podcast. So yep, we definitely going to have live podcasts from the show floor. We're working on it now as to what the schedule is. We've gotten only about 350 requests for people to host there. Right. But we definitely want to have you guys involved with it. You guys have done it as long as we've done it, and people love hearing your show, and people love meeting you. So yeah, we're working on it now. As you can imagine, these last 6 weeks as we ramp up to the show is crazy, you know, big piles of requests, all of them well-intentioned, all of them things we'd love to do if we had infinite space and time.
Sure.
But okay. I will pencil
that in pending further instruction and information from you guys. And then sounds we'll let great. Everybody here know. That's awesome. Paul. Okay. Cool.
Paul, Dave kind of mentioned it, but I wanted to give you a chance to, I don't know if there's anything new, but maybe a chance to go into a bit of detail about how you're organizing the exhibits floor, and that from what I recall there are specialized areas. Could you speak to some of those?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about on the exhibits floor. So, you know, in general, it's the thing that people have known and loved over years, where, you know, companies take a booth and they are showing what they have. There's you know, HP is there, Sennheiser is there, a lot of well-known company brands. But we started a couple years ago doing this app garden. We call it Appalooza, and it's where developers from app companies companies. And, you know, our thinking is many of these app companies are not, they're not big companies. They often don't have dedicated marketing staff or budgets or own booths or know how to do a trade show like a larger company would know how to do. So it's kind of an interesting area that it's a single stand. The developer can walk in with his iPad or iPhone and he's doing a major trade show. I mean, he's demonstrating at a major trade show. So this app area will have somewhere between 50 and 100 app developers that are involved. And that's one of the special areas that we have. And like I said, we also have two stages. So the Macworld magazine folks will be doing their live stage with interviews and some education. And then we have this stage that we've been talking about. We're going to have performances and podcasts. We do have another special event that's going to be happening on that second stage. That's called Six About to Break. There's an organization here in San Francisco that is kind of the center of the world for the iOS developer community called SF New Tech and Miles Wieslander. Miles is the director of SF New Tech. And we've been working together on a program where developers that are going to be launching products this year have been submitting. We've gotten over 50 submissions so far, and we're going to pick six Apple products that we think are going to break big in this year. And so Six About to Break is one of the presentations that is going to be happening on that second stage as well. So exhibits, booths, lots of show specials, of course. You know, that's one of the hallmarks of Macworld, is that not only can you get a demonstration and find stuff that you might not have seen before, but most of the developers that are there are selling things at a show special price, so you can walk out with it as well. But then you get really immersed in 50 of the best app developers in the world, and then these two stages of education and programming that and performances that you guys can enjoy.
Sounds like a nice new focus on the future with kind of all of the things that you got going on here, which I like. That's good.
I think so. You know, that's really our role. You know, the show aims to educate Apple product users and product enthusiasts about the state of the world with regards to what new products are coming to market. You know, what interesting things you need to know about Apple. And then what are kind of the things that shape the technologist world? So, yeah, I think it's a very, very powerful and interesting conference. It'll be very productive for people. Lots of cool products. You know, products are always the star of the show. You come to Macworld, you know, to discover things that you're seeing for the first time. So that's really interesting. And then all of the social networking that people do. Sure. So that's what the event is all about.
So these are going to be my words, not Paul's, folks, although Paul may or may not echo them. But I want to say something that I think is lost on a lot of people. We love this event for what it is. We love this event for the gravity that it brings. And we all get to go to one place and see each other. And we pay our fee. Well, I mean, we don't, because John and I speak or get press passes. But you know, in general, we pay for this stuff. And certainly we pay for our travel. And there's a great cost to each of us. But I don't know your numbers, Paul, so I'm projecting here, but my guess is without the exhibitors, this event would not happen. So in addition to them getting all the exposure that they get, they really are helping to create this event. So thank them for simply being there when you go to the show. If it weren't for that exhibit hall and the people that fill it with their booths and their products and their energy, the rest of it could not exist in the way that it does. So thank them. I think it's important on behalf of the community to say that.
I absolutely agree. You know, products are the lifeblood of our marketplace. You know, they're that whole concept of the third party opportunity where Apple, you know, leaves the door open for developers to add value to the Apple product experience. That since day one, that has been part of the deal. And, you know, Dave, you and I were talking about this, like, in the early Macworlds, there were 25 companies battling to be the spreadsheet on this new platform called Macintosh. You know, the world has changed. If you go into an Apple store now, and if you look at what the third-party products are, it's a lot about the accessory market and the utilities market. And that's kind of the world in which we live. And of course, the apps market. I mean, software is still, you know, the sexiest and most interesting thing that's going on in the world. But the developers who take the time and find the value in our audience at Macworld. And remember, it's a two-way street. You guys come because you want to discover interesting products, and the manufacturers, the developers come because they want to meet interesting customers. It's really very holistic. You know, one cannot exist without the other. And the what we have on the show floor now is incredibly representative, powerful display and demonstration of the innovation that still exists in the Apple product marketplace, the passion that still exists in the Apple product marketplace, whether it's new takes on utilities and accessories, you know, batteries, cables, or, you know, the amazing, amazing artistry that is happening in app development every day. That's what the show brings to life.
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming on and talking to us, Paul. Is there anything?
Oh, I got more questions. Oh,
all right. One more question, John. Go.
Well, I've seen this in the past. So number one here, I do see on your page that you guys are on all of the major, you got a Facebook page for this, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and even Google Plus. But is there going to be an app or what? Is there anything available either through the website or through an app that can help people kind of navigate the show?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. So absolutely. You know, we were actually the first trade show to ever do a show app. So we did it back when it was only web apps. And that was really cool. And then, you know, as native apps came aboard, we've always had an app every year. It's integrated with our registration system. So as when the app gets approved for this year and updated with this year's information, all of the registered attendees will be sent information about how to download the app. And that'll give you the opportunity to like plan your exhibit experience. It's a scheduler for your conference experience. You actually can do like rating of the conference sessions in the app. So it has a lot of interesting and useful features. So absolutely, we will do an app because we've always done an app. And in the same spirit as all of this iBeacon and Passbook activities I talked to you about, you know, the show is a living, breathing laboratory where people are experiencing the very latest in Apple technology. And so that's why you'll always see whatever is interesting that Apple's doing, we will try and find a way to implement it in the show in some interesting and useful way.
Sweet.
So Dave, I have actually, before I go,
yes,
I wanted to do an offer because our early bird is ending in a couple of weeks, but I want to do something special for our friends at Mac Geek Gab. If you guys want to come to the show, I have a pretty good discount offer for your listeners. Can I tell what that is?
I was going to put you on the spot and ask you if you had something like that, but you trumped me. So go.
We're way ahead of you, Dave.
That's awesome.
So yes, if you guys register, when you go to the macworldiworld.com page and you go to register, if you use the code P as in Paul, C as in Charlie, U as in ugly, 8, Z as in zebra, V. I'll do that again. PCU8ZV. You'll get a pretty good deal. You'll get $100 off the early bird conference pass. So it's $249, about to go up even more than that after the first of the month. But you'll get it for $149 for a conference pass. That's 2.5 days of conference sessions, the keynotes, all of the breakout sessions. Or if you just want to come to the expo and just the two stages that are on the expo floor, that'll be $25 at the door. It's only $10 for you guys now. So one more time, PCU8ZV. Victor is the code, and use that when you register and you'll get an amazing price. That'll be good until the end of February. So hopefully people will take advantage of that.
Thanks, Paul. We'll put that in the show notes too, in case you're driving, so you don't have to write that down. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming, Paul. I really appreciate you taking the time today to chat with us and all of our listeners here.
It's always a privilege and a pleasure to talk with you guys. You do great things for this community. You keep them informed. You keep them entertained. You keep them educated. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, man. You too.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
All right. See ya.
Well, that was fun, huh, John?
Awesome. Always great to talk to Paul and learn about all the things that are happening at a show that we hope all of you can go to or be there with us in spirit, since we'll certainly be reporting on what's happening there.
Yeah. And I think that was the most fun interview that we've done for a Macworld iWorld yet. So good stuff. I like it. Keeps us. I like the focus on the future, John. Oh, what did I do? Ah, I'm being a... John, you know,
you pressed the wrong button again.
Well, I sort of did. Yeah, I did. It's going to take a second to get the music back. But that was a I like the kind of the new focus on the future there. That's sort of a cool little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he keeps it fresh. I mean, you know, ever since, you know, Apple abandoned us.
That's right. Yeah.
He's been, you know, which to me wasn't necessarily reason to. You know, go to the show. It was, the keynote was fun, but
sure.
There are so many other things happening, and he you know, Paul and his team keeps adding stuff, which I think is great. I mean, you have to
evolve. I think it's awesome. So no, it's good. It's makes it fun. All right. Well, we will be back on Saturday because I've got a vacation next week. So we'll do a normal show on Saturday where we kind of go through some of your questions and talk through some of our stuff. John, I think Saturday will be the time to discuss what we have learned about wireless speeds with 5 gigahertz and Apple's devices over the years. So,
yes, because we had a spirited backroom discussion where there was some finger pointing, I won't mention who, saying, John, what you're saying is wrong. And I'm like, no, I'm basing what I'm saying on data. This is right. Science. So it wasn't right or wrong, because in my case, I was seeing something different than people should be seeing. So
that's
we want
right.
to share it with you, because I think what we're going to touch on is, you know, it's not whether you're right or wrong. It's how to get the best performance of what you have at your disposal.
At your disposal.
Yeah. What we're going to talk about.
That's it. Very cool. All right. Well, that'll be Saturday. If you want to send us a comment either before or after Saturday, you can do that at feedback@macgeekab.com.
Feedback@macgeekab.com is what he said.
Actually, I said feedback@macgeekab.com. And I also want to remind you all and thank you all that are members of our premium Mac Geek Gab program here. That is the thing that we set up in response to you that allows you to directly support what we do here. And we really, really appreciate it for those of you that have been members for a long time, as well as those of you that just signed up this week. So if you want to learn more about that, we certainly would appreciate it. It's not mandatory, of course, but we certainly appreciate it. If you are interested and able, visit MacGeekGab.com and you can learn all about premium. It does afford you the ability to email us at a special premium@MacGeekGab.com address, which does get a little extra attention, a little extra love. So there is that. But John, if somebody wants to call us on the phone, be they a premium member or otherwise, what number do we have them call?
Dave, I would call 206-666-4335.
Or 206-666-GEEK, as the case may be. You can also find us on Twitter. The show is Mac Geek Gab. He is John F. Braun. I'm Dave Hamilton. The headlines and all the fun stuff from Mac Observer come from Mac Observer. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MacGeekGab. And John, where else?
Oh, gosh. I think you mentioned it all.
Didn't you? I didn't. No, I missed
Sorry,
Google Plus. Plus.google.com
slash
plus Mac Geek Gab podcast. You can find us over there. Great community happening over there. I love it. John, you got to get involved over there. It is where it's happening. Trust me on this.
Yeah, I hear you. If I can figure out how to set up notifications so it tells me when relevant things are happening.
Yeah, just use the app. It's perfect. Works great. Or you can get an email if you like.
The
Google Plus
app. Out.
The Google Plus app. Yeah.
So in order for me to get notifications that things are happening, I have to get the G Plus app on my iOS device. Is that what you're telling me?
That's one way of doing it. But you can have an email sent to you, too, if you if you
prefer
that.
That's not working
that.
For me.
Well,
I'll look at it again. The thing
between
is,
now and Saturday.
All right. Well, the thing is, Facebook, I managed to figure out how to get it to send me notifications when people post on our wall.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
Yeah. Yeah, just check out Google Plus. It's totally doable. Yeah,
I mean, there's a gear. It says notifications. I say notifications on, and I'm not feeling the love. So I'll revisit it.
All right, sweet.
There's something non-intuitive that I'm missing.
Yes, you've done something wrong.
No, not wrong. Just different.
That's right.
No, they've done something wrong. See,
I don't know. It works for me. But if you have trouble, ask, because that's what we do here is we answer questions. So we can do a quick question here. We got the stuff going. So we go to plus.google.com, right? Am I logged in here? I am. Do I have enough music left? I do. So I go up to notifications and I don't think that's where, and then I click Google Plus notifications. So you got to go up and hit the little bell, right? Is that where we get there? I don't know how to do this, John. It's been a while. I think it's in settings. We'll find this though. We're going to get there. Yeah.
I'll look at it again.
No, here we are. So go to Google Plus and then go to in the sort of the upper left hand corner just below the Google logo, you'll see a menu that starts with home. I don't know what you're on at that moment, but it's got home, profile, people. All the way at the bottom of that is settings. And if you go to settings, in there will be an option for notification delivery. And you set what email address you want it to go to. That's step one. And then you can also have it go to your phone and you can tell it push notifications or not at all. Then further down, you have a receive notifications section where it says get notified by email or phone when someone dot, dot, dot. And you go down to the bottom of that and go to communities and twist open that. And you can say share something with a community you get notifications from. So you turn that on for email and for phone. So that's that. Then you could, if you've turned it off, by default, you get notifications on. But if you then go into our Mac Geek Gab community, I believe in there you can also set, you could opt out of notifications just in the upper left-hand corner of the Mac Geek Gab community is a little thing that should say for you, notifications on.
And that's exactly what it says.
All right.
So I don't know what I'm missing, and I'm logged in with a current...
And you've gone, okay, so now it says notifications on. That's good. Now if you go up in the upper left-hand corner where it says communities, right, on your menu, and go down to settings. Yeah?
All right. Communities.
Okay. Communities.
Settings.
Settings. Okay. And now you see where it says notification delivery.
Notification delivery. Yep.
Email, and it's you've got one of your valid email addresses checked, I assume. Okay.
Yep.
And then down at the bottom under receive notifications, twist open communities.
There we go.
Share something with a community you get notifications from. Check the email box.
That is checked.
Then you should get notifications.
Oh, well, I'm not. All right, just telling you.
Turn them off and then turn them back on.
Yeah, because that always works. That's the way you always solve a problem.
Yeah, actually, that works a lot. So,
yeah, it's kind of bothers me. All right, well, I thought it seems I checked all the right boxes. We'll
maybe check your spam folder.
No, it's not there.
Yeah. All right, and then you can visit us on Saturday because we will stream that one live at MacGeekGab.com/stream. It wouldn't be Mac Geek Gab without the infrastructure and the people that we have here. And Michael Johnston is one of those great people that really helps. He won't have converted this show to AAC because we're going to push it out without him even knowing that we did it. But still, I want to thank Michael for everything that he does for us, converting the show and adding all the chapters and all that. He does the We Have Communicators podcast, as you know. Subscribe to that. Excellent show about all things iOS. And, of course, he publishes getapplure.com. So check that out, too, to find new apps. And you can even sync up with John and I over there. It's awesome. Auto-populates with the apps that you've bought and all that great stuff. It's killer. So there's that. And then the great people at CacheFly, CacheFly.com, provide all the bandwidth to get the show from us to you. And so that's good, too. What am I doing here? I'm pressing all the wrong buttons today. We'll try this again, John. How about that? In the podcast marketplace is BBEdit from Barebone Software, Text Expander and PDF Pen from Smile, Gazelle.com, Squarespace.com, the coupon code of MGG, and Lynda.com/MGG to get a 7-day free trial of everything they do there, all through Backbeat Media. John, share us some lasting advice before you dig into your Google Plus problem.
Well, as I'm doing that, I certainly hope, Dave, that I don't get caught.
Made up.